All right, good evening. Today we're learning Maseches Bava Metzia, Daf Tesvav. We're continuing our analysis of the Mishnah, which can be found on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. On Yud Beis Amud Beis in the Mishnah, we saw Machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, and we're analyzing this Machlokes still. If we find a Shtar Hov, are we allowed to return it to the Malve, yes or no? That's the discussion that we've been having. Now, yesterday, we learned the Shita of Rav Nachman in regards to Shmuel, and we had a kasha on the Shita of Rav Nachman, and then we saw three answers at the bottom of Yud Dalet Amud Beis, wrapping up to the top of Tesvav Amud Aleph. One of those people was, let's find them all, one of them was Rava, one of them was Rabba Bar Rav Huna, and one of them was Ravashi. And where we're starting now is in regards to an analysis of Rava and Rabba's answers, but more generally, not overly specific. So we're 10, 12 lines down on Tesvav Amud Aleph, and the Gemara says as follows, Bein the Rava, Bein the Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Malva Al Pehu. No matter how you answer, whether or not you hold like Rava or you hold like Rabba Bar Rav Huna, the answers that we saw yesterday, Lemaisa, it is a Malve Al Peh. In other words, there's no document that says that the Gazlan actually owes anything to the owner. There's no document like that. So yeah, the Ganav stole, and yeah, the Ganav has to pay back, but there's no shtar. So in effect, it functions as a Malve Al Peh. It's not really a halva, but we're kind of sort of qualifying it that way. But that's a problem, because a Malve Al Peh ain't no gove minuchasim mishubadim. But as a general rule, when we're dealing with a Milva Al Peh, when we have a halva that is not written down, but that is only verbal, so there are levels. The highest level of a halva, the strongest level of a halva, is when the loan is done in such a way where, because everything is documented so well, so there's properties that are nechasim mishubadim, and if I default, then I can go collect. This is a step below that, because it's a milva al peh, or close to a milva al peh, and therefore, both Rava and Rabba Bar Rav Huna said that there are nechasim mishubadim here, but that doesn't make sense, because if it is a milva al peh, milva al peh never collects from nechasim mishubadim, because it's only verbal and not written. Okay, so says the Gemara, don't worry. First, the person was Amad Bedin, the Gazlan, and Bezdin said to the Gazlan, you owe money to the person you stole from. And then, after Bezdin had identified that he owed X, so then his other fields that the Gazlan owned functioned as Mishubadim, and then he sold them when he shouldn't have, the Hadar Zavin. So there was a flow of events here that the Gemara did not share until now. When we learned that the Gazlan owed money back to the original, to the Nigzal, so you're right that there's no shtar. Who writes a shtar? I'm going to steal from you and then I'm going to pay you back. There's no shtar. So you're right that he owes money. So then how could it be that it's from Nechasim Mishubadim if it's basically a Milva Al Peh? The Gemara says because the guy already had a Gemara Din that he had to pay back. If the Gazlan then, after he learned that he owes the Nigzal money, sells the properties that function as a Shibud, then yes, then it is Gohim Nechasim Mishubadim. Says the Gemara, Ihachi Peros Nami. If that's true, then why aren't fruits collected as well? Says the Gemara, Sha'amad Bedin Al Karen. The only case that was being discussed was when they were trying to collect the principal. What's more important to you, the principal or the Peros? The $500,000 house or the $500 worth of fruit? Okay, you got to prioritize when you go into Beis Din, and sometimes you leave out the smaller claims for the sake of the bigger claims. So here you went in swinging big. You didn't care about the small fruits relative to the $500,000 house. They never talked about Peros. Well, my Pisca, is this really the standard? Says the Gemara, yeah. Stama de Milsa, ki tova inish, karna tova beresha. When you go into Beis Din to make a claim, what's your claim? You're going to go with the big stuff first. We weren't talking about Peros. Maybe you're right, maybe you're not right. We just weren't discussing it. Says the Gemara, a third of the way down on Tes Vav Amud Aleph, V'savar Shmuel lokeach mi gazlan les leishvacha. Is it true that if a person is lokeach mi gazlan, V'savar Shmuel lokeach mi gazlan, the person who buys from the gazlan, there's no shvach? After all, V'ha'amar le Shmuel l'rav chinana bar shilas. This is an Aramaic phrase. Imlich, you need to discuss v'kasuv and write down shufra shivcha upiri. We actually saw this yesterday in Hebrew, not in Aramaic. But here it's written in the way it's spoken about, that there are some things in a contract that are discussed. And over here, one of them is shvach. We see that shvacha is one of them. So therefore, how can you say that Shmuel says that there's no peros? After all, it seems to be discussed, says the Gemara. B'mai, when is it that Shmuel says such a thing, that that it is, that shivcha is a discussion. That's only true I bebaal chov. That's only talking about in the case of baal chov, not in the case that we were dealing with. Mi isla I bebaal chov. If you want to say it's a case of baal chov, no. Mi isla peri. There are no peri by a baal chov because ve'amar Shmuel baal chov goves a shevach shevach in aval peros lo. Says the Gemara, there are no peros in regards to the case of a baal chov. Elolav, it must be bilokeach mi gazlan. It must be that we're talking about a case where I buy something from you, but you had stolen that property from somebody else. And therefore, he can collect shevach. So Amar Rav Yosef, how do we then understand this sheet of Shmuel? Acha b'mayaskinan kigon shiyesh lo karka, where the gazlan has karka to pay back. He's not paying back money. He's paying back karka. Amar le, so what? Amar le abaye v'chi mutar lulavos saw b'saw b'makom shiyesh lo karka. Are you allowed to do that where I can give you a saw of this in place of a saw of that of karka? You're not allowed to do that because that could lead to some ribis cases because of fluctuation in market. So let's say, for example, I lend you an acre of property in 2023, and then you lend me back, you return what I lent, a different acre in 2024. No dice. That's an issur derabbanan. It's an issur derabbanan of ribis because there's no way to know that the market is exactly the same. We also have Ziburis, Idis, and Bain. There's so many factors, it's just impossible. So says the Gemara, it's not allowed. Amar Lay, Hasam Halva Hachazvini. There's a difference between a loan, because really, when does Ribis primarily kick in Midel Raisa? That's only when there's a loan. But if there isn't a loan, then you don't have to worry about it. There's nothing to worry about. So when there's a Halva, that's when we have the Isra of Sa'abisab and Makom Shiesh Lokar. But Hacha, in this case, we're talking about a sale. Look, at the end of the day, if I bought a property from you and you're a thief, what did I do? I paid for something. Okay, I didn't know that there was so much more going on. I didn't know you had stolen. But it's not a halva. It's not, we discussed this yesterday. It's not really a halva. It really functions more like a sale. And Nikad Amre, some say things are a little bit different with this statement. We're halfway down. Amar Rav Yosef, Acha b'mayaskin and kigon shekanu miyado. Here, the Rishonim explain that what's happening over here is where it's part of the kinyan that I should get the shevach. So we were discussing yesterday with Shmuel, is taking the shevach considered possibly mechze kiribis? What if it's part of the shtar? What if it's part of our agreement that when I sell, when I, the pretend mocher, because I'm really a gazlan, I stole and I sell it to you, and I say, by the way, if this doesn't work out, I'll pay you the ma'os and I'll pay you the shevach. Let's say it's in the shtar. So then that actually works because at the end of the day, mechze kiribis is not stronger than a contract. So mechze kiribis is overridden. Amar le Abaye, I don't understand how that works. V'chi muter lilvo sa' b'sa' b'makom shekanu miyado. He says, and that's not true. When it's sa' b'sa', when we have the iser derabanan, still an iser derabanan, okay, you made a contract about shevach. You shouldn't have done that. Amar le, same answer as before. Hasam halva v'hachazvini. So the Gemara creates a distinction, a clean line between cases of halva, when we're much more makbid on the appearance of ribis. We're makbid on sa abisa, where if I lend you an acre in 2023 in Nebraska, you cannot give back an acre in 2024 from Oklahoma. You can't do that. That's not allowed because the pricing will never be the same. Even if it says that it's exactly the same. Lamaisa, there are going to be minutia of differences, quality of grass, quality of dirt, quality of air, volume of rain. It's impossible to have it be perfectly equal. However, when it comes to Zvini, when it comes to sales, there we do allow for a little bit softer rules because Mideo Raisa, there is no application of Ribis when it comes to a sale. We do have concerns about overcharging, like Shesus, about overcharging beyond market value, but that's not this Isser. Okay, let's jump in. A little bit more than halfway down at the two dots Gufa, we had learned a statement from Shmuel that we're now going to analyze. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel taught us, Balchov goves ha-shevach. When it comes to a Balchov, so that means you owe me something, I'm allowed to collect Shevach. Amar Rava, Teda, you should know, Shekach kosev lo mocher lilokeah. The seller writes this to the buyer. Ana ekum ve'ishbi ve'idki ve'imrik zvini ilein. He says, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to say the truth. I'm going to purify. And I'm going to support the fact that there's a sale, zvini ilein, this sale, inun, ve'amalehon ve'shivchehon, including the basic costs and the shevach, ve'ekum kadamach. And I'll establish it in front of you. So over here, The mocher is telling the lokeach, I'm selling this to you, and if nothing works out, then I'll guarantee you the shvach as well. And then the edim kick in and they say, Vitzavi zvina denan v'kabel alohi. We are verifying that this actually happened, that the mocher said to the lokeach that the shvach is good. Amar le Rav Chiya bar Avin le Rava. Elameata, if this is true, what would be the difference between our case of a balchov and a matana? Elameata matana de loksiv lehachi. In regards to a matana, when I give you a gift, I don't write you a star. I'm just giving you a birthday present. Relax. You're going to make me write you a star when I get happy birthday to you? Here's a whole document that I'm... No, it's a matana. We don't write staros when it comes to matana, generally speaking. By a balchov pashut, we do. So the Gemara says, what about a matana? Hachanami delo tarif shvacha. Would we also say over here that the rules would be different for a shevach? Amarle in. Yeah, you would still collect the shevach. V'chiyofe koach matana mimecher. This is a lamdusha discussion. Is a matana more powerful than a mecher, because by matana, there's no shtar, yet we allow the shevach to be collected. Yet by balcho, the shvach can only be collected if there is a shtar. So the Gemara says, Amarle, in yafe v'yafe. Yes, matana is more powerful than mecher. Very interesting idea. I guess it kind of makes sense. A matana is a selfless gift. No strings attached, I'm giving you something. No reciprocity, financially or otherwise. It's kind of more of a pure gift. But where I'm in a case of being a Baal Chov, I give you something, but if I have other Baal Chov, they can come collect that from you. So therefore, the Matana, in a way, is more powerful than the Baal Chov. Amar Rav Nachman, Hamas Nisa Misayei Alei Lemar Shmuel. I have a Brisa that actually supports Shmuel. Vihuna Chavrin, and Huna and his friends, Rav Huna and his friends, Mukim La Bimili Achrini. And they actually learn the Brisa in a different way. Let's jump in. 12, 15 lines from the bottom. D'tanya. Hamocher sada lechavero. If I sell a field to my friend, and then v'harehi yotze mitachas yado, I sell it to you, and then someone who I owe money to goes over to you and says, sorry, Phil owes me money. I know he sold you this field, but what he sold to me was be'achrayis, and I'm allowed to take this field back. Kshehu gove, so then when the person who purchased from me and was then taken from, when that person collects, gove as a keren mi nechasim mishubadim, he collects the keren from nechasim mishubadim, v'shevach gove mi nechasim b'nei chorin, and he collects the shevach from nechasim b'nei chorin, similar to the sheet of Shmuel that we saw earlier. But v'huna chavrin mukim labimili achrini belokeach mi gazlan. They say that this brisa, which was a nice raya for Shmuel, was not talking about a regular case of mocher sada lechavero, and I had a debtor who it was able to collect from you. No, he says that we're talking about a case of lokeach migazlan, so we don't know if this raya is a beautiful raya for Shmuel. It could be a raya for him, or maybe not, because it could be that Rav Huna understood the brisa differently. And 10 lines from the bottom, Tanya Idach, we have another brisa. Hamocher sada lechavero vihishpicha. If I sell a field to my friend and the field as shevach, it improves. Uva balchov v'tarfa. And then because somebody owed me money, because I owed someone money, he came to you. I sold you the field. He came to you and took the field away from you. So kshu gove ima shevach yoser al hayitzia. If the extra value is worth more than the money you spent on it. So let's say this happens in homes all the time. When people are about to sell a home, redo your bathrooms and redo your kitchen. Because whatever you spend on it, you'll get more for it. I presume this is true. I'm making it up. That's what they told me when I sold my house. Fix up your kitchen, fix up your bathrooms. So in my old house on Fitch, I personally retiled because I was destitute. I retiled the bathroom myself. I did a pretty darn good job. I do say so myself. I retiled the bathroom. I put in a new toilet. We painted, still looked pretty bad, but we sold our house. It was fine. So here, if the shevach is yoser al hayitzia, the overall improvement, my house went up $25,000, but my expenses were only 15. Good. So if that's the case, then notel es shevach mi bala karka. Then I take the shevach from the person who actually owns the land. That's the actual owner. Hayitzia mi balcho. And I take the expenses from the person who is the balcho. If I lost money on my investment, all I have is the hotzah of that I actually spent my bills at Home Depot. That's it. How would Shmuel understand this particular case? After all, 5 lines from the bottom, kasha resha. If we say that it's talking about a gazlan, then the resha doesn't make sense to Shmuel. Why? Damar Shmuel lokeach gazlan less leshvacha. As we've already seen, the Shmuel says that there's no shevach by a gazlan. So if this brisa is talking about a gazlan, then the brisa 10 lines from the bottom makes no sense. And ibe balchov kasha resha v'seifa. And if we are talking about a case of balchov, then this brisa makes no sense in the resha or in the seifa. After all, damar Shmuel balchov goves ha-shevach, that he does collect the shevach. No distinctions about the yitzia being greater than the no distinctions. If it's a balchov, he's allowed to collect a shevach. That was the line that we started with at the two dots. The Shmuel said, balchov goves ha-shevach. So how do we understand this brisa? So says the Gemara, Iboy Seymour, we could say belokech mi gazlan. It could be that we're talking about the case of the gazlan. And what is the case that would make this brisa make sense? Kigon sheyesh lo karka. It could be that the gazlan himself has karka of his own, non-stolen, that he actually owns. Ninami b'shekanu miyado. Or it might be a case, as we mentioned, where the shevach was part of the contract. And Iboy Seymour balchov, another way that Shmuel could understand the brisa, that's 10 lines from the bottom, is that we are still talking about a balchov velo kasha, and really there's no difficulty. There's no difficulty at all. Kan b'shevach hamagia lichtafayim. One is talking about where the shevach reaches the shoulders. Kan b'shevach she'en magia lichtafayim. One is where it's not. Now, this doesn't actually mean reaching shoulders. I could have thought that way. I did think this way. I'm like, oh, the corn, when the corn, they weren't growing corn. But in Illinois, that's what we do. That's we're good at that. Cornfields. That's not what it means. Rashi says at the top of the page, test of Avamid Beis, top line and top. Rashi di Bar Maschil, Amiyal Amagilich Tefaim, Karavli Katzer. Elashadayin Tzrichin Lekarka. What we're talking about is it's almost ready to ripen. So what was our question over here? Our question was, how do we understand this brisa according to Shmuel? We said, well, the brisa could still be talking about a balchov, and one is talking about where the ground is not quite ready yet, and one is where the ground is ready. And that's how we would distinguish between the Shmuel, who says that the balchov does get the shevach, and the brisa, which says that the shevach and the yitzia are interdependent. Says the Gemara, v'hamaisim b'chol yom v'komag b'shmuel afil b'shevach amagil echtafayim. This is a comment of history. Shmuel would taka give out shevach all the time, even if it was magil echtafayim. Lokasha hadamasik bay kishir ara vishivcha. No, it depends. If the money that's owed is equal to the cost of the ground plus the shevach, then fine. But hadalomasik bay ela kishir ara. And the other case where he says that it depends on the shevach and how much you spend, that's in a case where the money that's owed is only the cost of the ground. And the monies of the shevach don't, the math doesn't work there. Then the Gemara adds another layer, Tesvav Amid Beis. We're going to be heading to the top of Tezayin Amid Aleph, about 12 lines down, and then we're going to stop. I would have done more, but I couldn't, so I didn't. So says the Gemara as follows. Hanicha, all of this is fine and good. Lamanda Amar, I isle zuze lelokeach, lomotzi mesalek lelabalchov, shapir. This is a new idea. Oh, yeah. Says the Gemara as follows. If there's a way to pay off the person who is collecting from the balchov, so I sold you a property, and then someone who I owed money to took the property from you. So if I could pay off the guy who's coming to you, no problem. That's a shiloh. Hello, leman d'amar ki is lezuzi lelokeach matzi mesalek lelebalchov. If sorry, go back a second. Hani chalamanda amar I isle zuze lelokeach. I understand all of this if we say lo matzi mesalik le balchov, that we don't allow for the payoff of the balchov. No problem. Elolamanda amar ki isle zuze lelokeach matzi mesalik le balchov. When you are allowed to pay off in order to prevent this whole triangle of the baalechov collecting from you who I sold to, neimale ilu havali zuze have mesal kinoch mikula ara. I would have paid you off, and then if we were allowed, then I would have paid you off. And hashta de leste zuze, now that I don't have that, havli garba de ara be'ara shir shivchoy. So now give me a piece of property that's the appropriate measure of land, but don't take up this property from the person to whom I sold. So how then do we understand this according to the shita that we are allowed to pay off? Aputiki. No, the land that's in discussion over here was an aputiki. It was an earmarked piece of land that was used to set aside. You can only get paid back from this. And in that case, we could understand, even according to the shita, that we allow paying off the person. Then the Gemara changes our whole case. Let's say that I knew I was buying property that was stolen. Up until now, when I made the purchase, I didn't know. But now you're the mafia and I need a house. and I have a suitcase full of money, and you have a property. I know in my belly that you stole that property, but I don't really care. I need a house. So the Gemara says, Hikir ba she'eno shelo bilakcha. I knew that it wasn't yours, and I bought it anyways. Not the best business transaction. This is a machlokes amoraim. Amarav, mos yeshlo, shevach einlo. If the transaction fails, you get the money back, but you don't get the shevach back. And Shmuel says, you are up a creek. Shmuel amar, afilu mos einlo. What is wrong with you? Why would you buy a house that you know was stolen? You don't get any money back. That's a big loss. Big machlokes amoraim. The difference is the cost of the house. That according to Rav, Rav's like, yeah, we'll give you the principal back even though you jumped into a ridiculous transaction. And Shmuel says, no, don't be an idiot. Like, just be smart with your money. Now, what is this machlokes about? We'll see that it might connect to a different machlokes. But my...
Rav's saying that there's no balance. The principal is you put in, you always guarantee that back balance? Or if there's a fluctuation...
No, it's not fluctuation. It's if the original owner shows up and says, hey, that's my property, then I can go back to the mafia and get my money. No downside. Except for Shevach, like if you start improvements, but guarantees principal back. Yeah. And Shmuel said, yeah, I mean, you know, it might not be convenient, but it's not, there's nothing halachically wrong with it. It's a little odd. No?
Very odd.
We may not be discussing, just to distinguish, we may not be discussing the halachic appropriateness about this. We may just be discussing the financial realities about it. It's possible. It's probably not normal to buy a stolen piece of property. And I painted the picture a little bit, probably incorrectly, that we can assume that it's stolen. No, we know it's stolen. That's the case over here. He cared about it. He knew. Like, it had the wrong guy's name on the deed. Like, you get to the title house, and they, like, scratched out the name. You know, it said John Smith, and you're like, no, it's not John Smith. It's Phil Karish. Total theft. So, b'maika miflagei, what is the svara? Rav savar, adam yodea shekarka einlo, v'gomar v'nasan l'shum pikadam. The lumdus behind the money that I give you, when I know full well that the property that you've sold me is stolen, is I'm basically giving you my money as a pikadum. I mean, halachically speaking, that's where you're going to get it back. The functionality of me giving you this money is like a pikadum. It's not a purchase, even though I get to live in the house in the meantime. It's just,
that's real.
What?
No,
it's not a loan.
It's not a loan.
It's not a loan.
It's a deposit.
You can't use my money. A pikadon is different than a pikadon is watch my dog while I'm out of town.
At the same time, you're getting back the principal plus you're getting back something.
You're not getting anything back anyways. Rob said there's no sheva.
It's more like,
oh, that's true.
Can you lock my watch away in your drawer? When I come back, you're going to give me my watch back. Yeah,
had this.
But
Stan, it's not a loan. It's not a loan. It's pikadon.
You're giving me a gift.
It's not a gift. If this was taka alone, that would be usur.
The failure of using the house.
That would be ribbis had it been a halva, but it's a pikadum. Right. I shared this already once. Like if I borrow money from you and I give you back your money and do an extra carpool for you, that's ribbis. So that's pasha because I'm giving you more than that's for sure. Okay. Says the Gemara. Well, Rav, that's great that you're calling this a pikadum, but v'neimalei l'shum pikadum. Why don't you just say, you're the buyer, just say, listen, I know this transaction is ridiculous. Let's just call this a pikadon. Why don't you say that? So it says, Gemara, sovar lo mekabel. He thought that the guy wouldn't agree. And even though halachically it functions as a pikadon, I need a place to sleep. So I'm willing to get into this ridiculous transaction as a pikadon, but I'm not going to tell him it's a pikadon. Ushmuel sovar, adam yodea shekarka einlo, v'gamar v'nasan l'shum atana. Oh, wow. Okay, so he has a whole different approach. Shmuel says, you're a fool. You gave over cash to someone who's not trustworthy. He sold a piece of property. He doesn't quite say you're a fool, but he says that the money halachically functions as a matan. So says the Gemara, then why didn't he say, what?
Very generous.
Very, very, very generous. Now, it's a gamble.
It sounds more foolish than generous.
It sounds more foolish than generous. But really what he's doing is he's saying, I need a place to sleep. I'm willing to risk it. You know, fine. B'nei l'shumatana. Why don't we call it out, says the Gemara. Why doesn't Shmuel, like, why doesn't the lokeach say to the pretend mocher, to the gazlon, it's a matana? Says the Gemara, k'sifa le'milsa. The whole thing's embarrassing. You know, be like, I'm going to live here on a gamble. Here's my money. And it's a matana. Says the Gemara, this is not the first time that Rav and Shmuel argued about this. After all, Ha'itmar, de'itmar. There's a brisa. We've seen this before a few times. It says, Hamekadesh esachoso. A person walks up to his sister and says, Harei at mekudeshes li betabas zukedas Moshe v'Yisrael in front of Edim, and hands her a ring, a perfect kiddushin, except for one thing. The kiddushin's not chal. But you still gave her, let's call it, a very expensive ring, $1,000, $10,000, whatever it is. Rav Amar Maos Chozrin. Rav says that if a man proposes to his sister with money, right, with kesef, so then Maos Chozrin. Shmuel Amar Maos Matana. So that means that we've already had this machlokes. And now, when we analyze the case of the Kedushin, what do we see? Halfway down on Tesvav Amud Beis. Rav Amar Maos Chozrin. Adam Yodea Shen Kedushin Tosin Bacho. So everybody knows you can't marry your sister. The Gama Renasan Lashum Pikadon. Same lambda says before. Just like we saw in the case of purchasing a piece of property that you're not allowed, that is really not yours. Just like we saw that. So then it's a Pikadon. So too over here, the Kedushin case is also a case of Pikadon. Very good. Says the Gemara, v'neimale lishum pikadon. Rav, if that's true, then if a man proposes to his sister and it's really a pikadon, say to her, harat mekudeshes li betabasu kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, but really it's a pikadon. Say what it is. Says the Gemara, sofer lo mekabla mine. He really wanted her to take the money. So instead of saying it's a pikadon, he proposed? I'm not sure how that works. But that's what the Gemara says. Is that, I don't know. I'm just guessing. If I proposed to my sister, she would look at me like I'm crack crazy and ignore me. Turn around, walk away. She wouldn't even, where's the camera? But here the Gemara says, well, no, he'd rather say the proposal than say it's pikadon, because this way at least she'll take the money. I don't know what the family dynamics were. I know there's a lot of jokes about the South, but we're not going to go there. But the idea over here seems a little bit backwards.
She's a Shmuel.
Shmuel Amar Maos Matana, that the money's a Matana. Adam Yodea Shein Kedushin Tovsin Bachos.
Your sister's not an idiot.
The Gomar V'Nasan L'Shum Matana. She's not the idiot. But in the first case, it's just socially hard to understand. Like, why would... How is saying Harat Mekudeshesli better than saying here's a Pikadon? Now, the Bikadon is to my benefit. I need you to watch this. I'm going out of town. But the Matana is to her benefit. So Rav and Shmuel have very different lenses as to how to look at this. So if a man goes over to his sister and says, Aret Mekudeshesli in the Shmuel camp, everybody knows Kedushin is not Tofsin. You're giving up your money. And if you wanted to give up your money, clever move. No problem. That's great. Good for you. You're not married because you can't marry your sister even if you tried.
The person who's he indebted to collect?
We're not talking about Karkai. This is just being compared to the previous case, but it's not the previous case. That's not an iteration here in the Gemara. It's a good question. I don't know. I don't think so, but I don't know. No. Kedushin is not Tofsin. It's nothing.
You can still marry a Kohen.
It's a zero. It's a total flat line in Halacha.
Nothing more.
The money is a Pikadon or a Matana, but the Kedushin is a zero. Nobody argued, Rav or Shmuel, that the Kedushin was Chal. There are shilas like that. Remember the cases of Mamzerus with Rabbi Akiva? Like those cases, we got a little bit of lumdus like that. But Lamaisa, that's not how things are here. So says the Gemara by Shmuel, V'neim ala l'shum matano, so k'sifa l'milso. And says the Gemara, it seems to be that we have the same exact machlokes in two cases. We have a machlokes of Rav and Shmuel by Hikir ba she'eno shelo v'lakha, where we saw that Rav said that the money that you give in this transaction is a pikadon, and Shmuel said it's a matana. And we have the same thing by Hamekadesh Esachoso, where a man who proposes and gives money to his sister. So there, Rav said it's a pikadon, kind of. He doesn't really say pikadon, but he says, what was his language? What did Rav say? Maos Chozrin. Oh, yeah, he does say it is Bikadon. And then Shmuel says that it's going to be a Matana. So why do we have the same Machlokes twice? So the Gemara's question is like this. When you're entering into a transaction that makes no sense, one that is likely to just bounce right back in your face, so then what happens to the money? That's how the Gemara's premise. Your answer is fair. But the Gemara, and that's basically what we're going to see. But the premise of the question is, if you go into a non-starter transaction, why would Rav and Shmuel have to repeat themselves? That's the question. So the Gemara says, Tzricha, di itmar beha, if we only had the machlokes of Rab and Shmuel in the case of hikir ba she'eno shelo v'lakcha, so then beha ka'amar Rav, over there Rav would say that it's a pikadon, delo avde inish diyave matanos lenuchra. Who gives gifts to random people on the street of $500,000? That's not normal. Nobody does that. What? Purim? Thought you were going to say Mr. Beast. That was really what I was thinking. Baruch Hashem. You don't know. My kids told me about this. I'm going to his house. That's fine. We are coming over, bro. So the Gemara says that Rav would only say it's a pikadon where you don't know the person you're giving the money to, because Pashat, you're going to want the money back. Aval, perhaps Gabe Achoso, maybe Rav would agree with Shmuel in the case of Hamakadesh Achoso that Ema Modele the Shmuel, because he knows her. And maybe he wants her to have the money. That makes a lot more sense. It makes a lot of sense. And Ve'i Etmar Bahach, if we only had the second case of Hamakadesh Achoso, maybe only Bahach Ka'amar Shmuel, maybe only there Shmuel says that it's a matano. But when it comes to the other case, the case of Hikir Basha'ena Shalom Velakha, perhaps over there, Shmuel would agree to Rav. The Gemara doesn't say what the Svara is. I presume it's the same exact one. The Gemara doesn't say a different Svara by the two, but perhaps the distinction is Nuchra versus Mishpacha. When they're Nuchra, who gives a matana of a lot of money to a Nuchra, someone you don't know? Your sister, maybe you want to give your family money. No problem. It makes a lot of sense.
You don't want your wife to have it.
What?
What? Maybe the guy's wife, he doesn't want to have it.
That could be. The Gemara doesn't talk about that. But these two cases were both required because in one case it was an Uchra and one case it was a sister. Okay, next. We are 3/4 of the way down. Bein le'rav da'amar pikadon. Bein le'shmuel da'amar matana. Hai le'ara. B'mai kanachis uperos. So over here, the Gemara says he knew that the peros weren't his in the case of hikir basha'eno shelo velakcha. So I buy this property, whether or not you're Rav or you're Shmuel, doesn't matter. Haile ara, this land, b'may kanachis, you're going onto the property of peros hechi achil. How are you allowed to eat? You know the property is not yours. That was the premise of the case. That was our givens, as they say in the math world. This is a given. The property's not yours. You're not allowed to sell it. And then if I buy it from you, how can I sit on the property and eat it? Savar, says the Gemara, what's the difference between me, the lokeach, buying the property and using it, or the gazlan himself eating it? Ana, echus la'ara, I'll go onto the land. Ve'i avid, I'll work the land. Ve'echul begaveh, and I'll eat it. Ki hechi dahavaka avid ihu, just like the other guy was doing it. What is the difference? What is the difference to the actual owner who consumed his food? Says the Gemara, l'chi ase mara da'ara, when the guy comes back, zuzoi nahavu, I'll give him money. L'rav damar pikadon pikadon, l'shumul damar matana matana, whatever, we'll pay him back. What an odd piece of Gemara. Why isn't it geneva? The fact that guy number one is doing Geneva means that I can do Geneva? What does that have to do with anything? Is it Geneva proper? I think it is. Why would it not be Geneva proper? It's very odd. Okay, says the Gemara as follows. Amar Rava, let's give some piske halacha. Thank God, because this summarizes the last three blot of Gemara in about three lines. Amar Rava, Hilchasa, Yesh lo maos v'yesh lo shevach. A big machlokas that we had many times over. Yes, in these cases of the uncomfortable sales where I find out only after I purchase. Again, that's not the case we just learned, but the case we spent the last couple of days on. If I buy a property and find out it's stolen, then I get paid back my ma'os, my $300,000 for the house, and shevach, the $20,000 that I did to add a fence. V'yafal pi shelo pirish esa shevach. And this is true even if shevach wasn't expressly written in the contract. What does that mean? It means we don't paskin like Shmuel, because Shmuel thought it was mechze kiribis, we paskin like Rav. Hikir basha'enu shelo v'lakcha, today's case, where I know that I'm taking property that's not mine. I know that I'm taking property that's stolen. Mo'os yeshlo, shevach einlo. That's the din in this case, and that too is the shita of Rav. Rav is 2/2. Achrai is to soferhu, bein bishtari halva, bein bishtari mekach u memkar. This is a din that Shmuel mentioned. But it's not Rav versus Shmuel. He just holds that every shtar has achrayis built into it, even if it was left out. That means that if it's left out, it's a ta'us sofer. That's true both by shtari halva, and it's true for mekach u'memkar. There's no such thing as a shtar that's written without an assumption of achrayis. Ba'amine Shmuel me Rav. Shmuel asks a question from Rav. Chazar ve'lokcha mi'baylim harishonim mahu. What if Reuven, the guy who initially stole it and sold it to Shimon, what if he then goes to the actual owner and purchases the property? So here's the case scenario. I stole your property and I sold it to Michael and I felt bad. And really it was Sandberg's property. So I go over to him like, okay, listen, I did say, can I just crack you a check? Well, we're coming over for money on Purim, so just you're down now. You're down for the count. You're going to be poor. What? You want me to come drunk? Once you're drunk, no comment. Your father's not here. We can't have this conversation. So says the Gemara as follows: that what happens if I, who stole the property and sold it to you, then go to the original owner to buy it out? Amar lei. Ma mochar lo rishon l'sheni. What is the sale from me to you? Says the Gemara. Kol zchus shetavo liado. Anything that would normally come into a transaction between me and you would come into a transaction between me and you if in fact I bought it from Sandberg. My taima. So says the Gemara. What is the motivation for me to go to Sandberg and actually buy the property? Mar zutra amar nichale delo nikri gazlana. I had some regret. I don't want to be called a Goslin. I don't like that. So I sell you a property. All of a sudden, you look up the property on Zillow. You'll be like, he's not the owner of this property. It says a company's name is not his name. So I don't want to be a Goslin. So behind closed doors, I ended up owning the property. Ravashi said that wasn't his motivation. Ravashi Amar Nichale Deleku Behemnuse. He wants to be believable. He wants to be a believable person, and he won't be otherwise. My Beinayhu, three possible answers. And with these three answers, we'll close. It'll take us to the two dots about 12 lines down. Answer number one, Ike Beinayhu de mislokeach. One difference would be is if the purchaser, that's the third party, if the purchaser dies. Manda amar nichale de lo likaria gazlana. The one who says that we don't want you to be called a gazlan, well, you don't have to worry because the guy you sold to died. Hamisle. And Rashi says, lokeach, the buyer. Umanda Amar Nichale de lo lekum behemnuse, one who says that you're not going to be believable, Bahade Bnei, in the eyes of the son of the man who died, Nami Nichale de lekum behemnuse. That's not, then he'll still be considered believable. Says the Gemara, what are you talking about? Sof, Karule Bnei Lokeach Gazlana. The sons of they're going to call you a Gazlan after you still sold a property you shouldn't have sold. So because of that, the Gemara on Tez Zayin Amud Aleph pivots and gives its second nafkamina. Or I should say, it's another attempt at a viable nafkamina. Ela'ika beinayu demis gazlan. Perhaps we're talking about a case where the gazlan dies. Manda amar nichale le'enish delo likriyuhu gazlan. According to the shita that we saw earlier of Marzutra, that I who took the property from Sandberg, I don't want to be viewed as a gazlan. Ha'misle. So then that person's not alive anymore. Lamanda Amar Nichale de Lekum Behemnuse, the guy who wants to be believable, Hachanami Afal Gab de Mis, Nichale de Lekum Behemnuse. And the Gemara asks the same question that asked in the previous answer. Sof, Karu Libnei, Bnei Gazlana. They're going to call you, anyways, a Gazlan. No matter what happens, you're still going to be a Gazlan. So that answer also doesn't work, that Nafkamina. Ella, Ike Beinayu de Yoav Abimatana. The difference would be whether or not the property was given bimatona. Manda amar nichale de lekum behem nuse, matona nami nichale de lekum behem nuse, he'd be trusted. Manda amar nichale de lo nikri gazlana, amar le, my gazlina minach. There is no theft in this case. So the case of a matona would be a difference between them. We're going to have a lot to catch up on Shabbos. I'll do my best to cover some ground. These pages are very long and very dense. But we'll do what we can. And we'll stop right here at the 2.12 lines down and pick up with Pshita. What? That might help. I literally didn't even turn that far. Wishing you all a beautiful night.